With me to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. We looked about a week ago at the first three verses of this blessed book. Solomon, Scripture reveals, had written many songs, but this was the Song of Songs. This song is concerning the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. And the bride, just to bring us up to where we were, said in verse 2, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine." The bride desires his embrace, desires his affection. And she longs to know it. She longs to, by faith, behold it. Because, verse 3, of the savor of thy good ointments. Those good ointments speak of his anointings. He was anointed. He is our surety. He is our mediator. He is our substitute. He is the Lamb of God. And the savor, the smell to the believer, to hear of Him, to rejoice in Him, to feast upon Him, it smells to her of life. It has the fragrance of holiness. She cannot enter into the fullness, but she knows Him. Smells Him. The savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. We looked at that passage when it spoke of the woman that broke the alabaster box and she poured the ointment and it just filled the room. It speaks of our Lord who was broken, his body was broken, his blood that was shed, and the savor. Now, to a believer, I know they enter in to what's said here. They know. Now, to one that has not been given a heart to behold by faith what the writer speaks of, the one that has been anointed by the Spirit of God to understand. They hear these words, but they don't enter in. But a believer does. The church, the bride does. The hope of Christ is her peace. Therefore, the believer desires his kisses, and we'll pick up now in verse 4. And she also desires His direction and His guidance. Draw me, verse 4. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Draw me. Draw me with the cords of your love and your kindness, because nothing else will draw me. Unless you draw me, I will not come. I cannot come. As you have effectually called me out of spiritual darkness, called me unto yourself, as you have given me a heart, a new heart, as you have regenerated me, born me again, rebirthed me. As You've given me life, draw me. Draw me that I might be more intimately acquainted with You. Even now, stop and just think for just a minute. Is that not the believer's heart? Right now. We're here for a few minutes tonight. It's just an evening. But right now, Lord, if You're pleased to draw me, if You're pleased to right now give me an understanding, something beyond my capability, something beyond my ability, I can't do it, You draw me. Draw me by granting me a hungering and a thirsting after You. If You leave me to myself, I just can't conjure it up. Draw me. Draw me, and we'll run after Thee. We will, because You've made us willing in the day of Your power. If You draw, we'll come. Willing to come when You first revealed Yourself to me, and willing to come afresh. The coming of last service is not sufficient for me. The drawing from yesterday is not enough. I need You to draw me now. Draw me right now. We would not run after Him if He didn't draw us. Here is the believer's cry right now. Lord, don't leave me to myself. If You don't draw, if You don't speak to me right now in this service, under Your Word, by Your Spirit, I walk out of here the same. Lord, if You don't give me a heart, if You don't draw, if I run after You, if I'm drawn by You, I'll finish the course. And it's only because You drew me. And where is the place where He's drawn us? Draw me, we'll run after You. The King hath brought me into His chambers. The King, Christ Himself, the King of Kings, hath brought me, because of my helplessness, brought me into His chambers, into the bride chambers of heaven, and hath made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Psalm 45:14 says, she shall be brought unto the King in raiment of needlework, in His righteousness, robed in His righteousness. She's brought it. The King hath brought me. Brought me, having satisfied Himself in the putting away of my guilt at Calvary. He's brought me. Now, there's some things that I absolutely realize and admit that I just don't enter into right now in the fullness. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. But I know this, in the person of my Lord, in the person of my Redeemer, I am as He is. Right now, as He is in this world, I'm as He is. He hath brought me into His chambers. He has showed me mercy by providing Himself a lamb, satisfying His own law in my stead. He's brought me into His chambers, into that secret place of fellowship with Him. Wherever He is, I am. He brought me. I couldn't bring myself. He brought me because He has everlastingly loved me. That's what Jeremiah 13:3 says. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. I've always loved you. I've loved you. I've always loved you. We'll be glad and we'll rejoice in thee. We do now and we shall forever. Glad inwardly, delighting in Him who is the delight of the Father, and rejoicing in Him. Psalm 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Serve the Lord with respect and rejoice. And that word rejoice means to rest. Rest. Rest in Him. God's people rejoice in that they do rest in Him who has finished the work that the Father gave Him to do. Draw me. We'll run after Thee. The King has brought me into His chambers. We'll be glad and rejoice in Thee. And we will remember Thy love more than wine. We will rehearse. That's what that word means. We'll remember Thy love. Now, believers do remember. They remember. They've given a heart to remember. But they rehearse. They speak of Him. Men cannot but speak and think of that which they love and cherish. The Scripture says, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaketh. I've said this before, if you want to know what a man thinks, what a man cherishes, what a man loves, just listen to him. Listen to what he's got to say. Psalm 45:1, David said, "My heart is inditing." That means it bubbles up a good matter. "I speak of the things which I have made touching the King." He said, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." I speak of Him. It's amazing. You find two people that the Lord's given a heart after Him. And you listen to their conversation. Oh, they may have a few things to talk about. You know, they may talk about fish they caught and, you know, last week went hunting or something like that. But you give it just a few minutes. And two people that the Lord's given a heart after Him, I'll tell you what they won't talk about. They won't speak of Him. And they never tire of speaking of Him. He is their endless conversation. We love Him and speak of Him. The Scripture says we will remember Thy love more than wine. As wine being drunk causes a person to show jolly. Ephesians 5:18, 19 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And then that last part of verse 4 says this, "The upright love thee." Now, you know, I thought a long time on that. And As I thought on it, I thought back on some things that I've heard many folks say. Someone might say, "Do you love the Lord?" "Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord." I remember years ago when I was growing up in religion, that was a real comforting phrase to say, you know. Love Jesus, love the Lord. Give my heart to the Lord. I love Him. Talk is cheap. talk is very, very cheap. That's the easiest thing in the world to say. I love him. You know, I'd hate to know that my love to him was known by my thoughts, by my actions, by my attitudes. I'd hate to know that. I'd hate to know that my affection, my cherishing of him is determined by my best ability. The upright love thee. I know this concerning the love toward Almighty God, toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I am absolutely convinced of this. Those truly made upright by the imputed righteousness of Christ, I know that they love Him. I know they do. I know. The Scripture says, the bride is speaking, the upright love thee. None other than the regenerate saint does love Him. Man, woman, left to themselves, does not love Christ, does not love the Lord. The Scripture says the carnal mind's enmity against Him. They don't love Him. It doesn't matter what a man says. Talk is cheap. Anybody can stand up and say, I love the Lord. Many say they do. But Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth. Now you know that's so. These people draw near me with their mouth. And with their lips do honor me. Now you listen to anybody sitting anywhere in any church building, in any, just listen to what they're going to say. Many of them sing the same songs that we sing. Same songs. Many of them are quoting the same Scripture. The Lord says that they draw near me with the mouth and with their lips they do honor me. But He says they have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Their respect toward me is dictated by what they know of man's means and man's precepts and man's concepts. Man stands up and says, this is what it is to love the Lord. This is what you'll act. This is what you'll do. Talk's cheap. The Lord said to those that had seen Him feed 5,000 men plus the women and children, He said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, not because you understood the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Man left himself does not serve or love or hunger or thirst after Christ. He just doesn't. They serve Him for gain. But Solomon says in this fourth verse, he says, the upright love Him. They love Him. They love His Word. They love His people. As a principle of love within them with a view toward the glory of Almighty God. They love Him. I know they love Him. I know they do. They love Him because He's first loved them. I know that. They count His honor, His kingdom, His majesty to be worthy of praise. And that only by His grace. I know that. But it is not, and hear me well, it is not the redeemed sinner that decides the love that he has for the Lord. It is not the redeemed sinner that settles the case. Turn with me to John 21. And I want to read something to you that was a real blessing to me. And while you're turning there, it's John 21. I'm going to start reading verse 15 in a second. But as I read that last part of that fourth verse, the upright love thee. They love thee. Now I know that even within this congregation tonight, I know, I'm convinced, I believe that there's some folks here that the Lord's given a heart after Him. I believe that. I believe that. And I believe that there's some folks here that love Him, that do love Him. And I know that if you'd ask them, if you'd ask the folks here that the Lord's given a heart after Him, you'd ask Him, you said, you love the Lord. And from within, the innermost part of that being, of that person, they're going to say, realizing and thinking upon their attitudes and their heart, and probably take a deep breath, as, yeah, I love Him. I love Him. But I tell you, they will not be the one that decides the case. John 21:15. Listen to these words. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, let's just recount just a second of what had happened previously. The Lord had told Peter, He said, Peter, He said, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And sure enough, before that rooster crowed the second time, Peter had denied that he knew the Lord. I don't know Him. They'd say, yeah, but I saw you with Him. They said, I don't know Him. I don't know Him. I don't know Him. Yeah, but your speech betrays you. I told you. I told you I don't know Him. I don't know the man. I don't have any association with Him. I don't care for Him. I don't know Him. And then in one scripture it says that the second time that the cock crowed, it said Peter looked, and the Lord looked at him. Now you know, that had to cut him. Cut him. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, now here's the point I want to make. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. God's people will not leave the fact of their love to the Lord Jesus Christ to themselves. But they will cast themselves upon Him who is the searcher of hearts. Peter, do you love me? Now you ask a believer. You feel as though that your actions and your attitudes, is it consistent with your love toward Christ? Now, I'm telling you, they'll take a, a deep breath inside. You may not see them, but they will. Lord, Peter said, you know all things. You know all things. I don't know the depth. The believer will not appeal to his own ways. He won't appeal to his own affection. He won't appeal to his own conclusion as to his love toward Christ. He'll not trust his heart to decide, but appeals to the Lord alone to settle it. Old John Newton wrote in a song, it said, Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon thy work of grace, if it be indeed begun. The believer rests upon the Lord's knowledge of his love for him. Peter, you love me. Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know. Lord, I don't. I don't know the depth of it. Do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. I'm telling you, talk is cheap. But one that the Lord's given a heart to love Him, they consider their love toward Him, and they think this, if it was left up to me to come up with, to conjure, to build up, to sustain my love toward Him, I wouldn't have a hope. Lord, you draw me. And I'll run after you. Here in the Lord's omniscience is where the confidence of Him is truly found. True humility toward Him rests. Love for Him concludes this. Lord, you know all things. Lord, you give me a heart. After you. You've given me a heart after your word. You've given me a heart after your people. You've given me a heart towards your gospel. You've given me a heart towards your glory. Lord, you know all things. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Lord, you made me. You saved me. You must keep me. What the believer feels concerning his love toward Christ is this. I'm far from loving thee as I ought. I'm far from loving thee as you're worthy to be loved. But Lord, you know that in spite of my failings and notwithstanding my present weakness, by your grace, by that heart that you've given me, as Almighty God considers me totally and only in you, by your imputed righteousness that covers me, I love you. I love you. Our Father, tonight as we consider all the speech of your people toward you, the honesty toward you, the love that we have toward you, Lord, we realize and how thankful we are that you consider us, look upon us, accept us totally in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we say, draw us, we'll run after you. Lord, we realize you've brought us into your chambers, into that innermost presence with you. And Lord, given us a hungering and a thirsting after hearing you. And truly, in truth, the upright do love you. We ask you to forgive us where we failed you. For Christ's sake, amen. Pat, would you come just lead us in a closing hymn.